see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadows, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I'll see through the night. Belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I'll see through the night. Oh God, battle belongs to you. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine it, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our mighty fortress. You go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I'll see through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Amen, and good morning, GBF. It's good to see all of you here this morning. If you're a guest with us here today, just make yourself at home while you worship the Lord with us today. There's a place in your bulletin that says Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship. You can take a moment, fill that out, tear it off, and you can throw it in the little wood offering box by the double doors that you came in this morning. Well, today, as many of you know, is a big day. Today we've all been waiting for, where we're going to show you the building plans. And so I want to thank you again for your patience and your prayers. And again, if you're a guest with us, this is not a business meeting. We don't have business meetings at GBF. We have worship services, okay? And so this is a worship service. Some of you may have been in a few business meetings that were a little on the scary side before in your past, but this is not one of those. This is where we come to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so again, I want to thank you for your patience and your prayers, church family, as we've gone through this time. One of my favorite psalms is Psalms 37, where the Bible says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. Think about that. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and he will do it. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. And do not fret. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we come here today to worship you and to bless you. C.S. Lewis once said that men spontaneously praise what they value and enjoy, and they spontaneously urge others to do the same. And so today, our primary purpose for being here is to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for leading us to this point where we have the opportunity, maybe like never before, to step out in faith and leave a lasting legacy of faith for future generations that will follow us. Lord, I thank you for giving me a front row seat and growing up in a family that worshiped you above everything else. I thank you for the parents and the grandparents that I had who stepped out in faith time and time again to further your kingdom. So, Lord, we ask that you turn our hearts and our minds today to loving you, to worshiping you, praising you. And we ask that this service today would be a blessing to you, and that you not let us make it about us and what our agenda is, but that it's about you, because that's why we've come here today, to bless you and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask them back there, if they would, to throw up a picture real quick on the screen. This is my grandfather that I've told you about many, many times. That was his 100th birthday. His t-shirt says, "It took me 100 years to look this good." And that's my Uncle Mike, who you know. He's preached for me many times. He'll preach here in a couple of weeks for me. And my Aunt Becky, who my daughter is named after. That man in the middle was a spiritual leader for our entire clan. The Halls, the Irvins, the Moores. He has touched more people for the kingdom of God than any other man I've ever met in my entire life. And because of Milton Moore and the impact he had, the ripple effect that he had and still has, even though he's gone to be with the Lord, because of the ripple effect that Milton Moore had on all of our lives, there's not a holiday that goes by where we don't all sit and talk about the legacy that he left us and the legacy that he left behind for all who knew him and all who follow him. And I think I've mentioned to you before, my Uncle Mike called me and he said, "Chris, your grandfather, while he was laying in the bed in the nursing home, wrote the last check he ever wrote to the building fund of Grace Bible Fellowship." The man lived for God, never played church a day in his life, but he always put Jesus first. Every time I was with him, every time I was around him, and every cousin, brother I have would tell you the exact same thing. The message was always the same. He hugged you. He told you how much he loved you. And he said, "I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And he has a great plan for your life." And I believe, GBF, God has put us here for such a time as this. God knows exactly what's going on in our world. And he birthed this church, and he knew he was going to bring you here to be part of this church for a time just like this. And you and I have an opportunity to leave a legacy of faith to all the future generations that are going to follow us. Matt, you come and continue to lead us in worship, if you would, please, sir.
Shadow of turn.
changes not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Testimony that we have as a church family to just how true these songs are. You are faithful, whether we are or not. God, you have shown in so many ways that you have a plan for GBF. There's no one person that has come to this church that's just made things take off. Human wisdom is nothing, but you have shown us what you can do through this church family. God, you have blessed us, you've blessed this town. And I pray that as you continue to do so, that it would never be about us. As Chris said about this service, that it wouldn't be about us. I pray that this church is not about us, but it is for bringing people to your feet, drawing people's attention to Jesus Christ. Let us be about that in everything we do, from the meetings here on Sunday and Wednesdays, to the things we do out in the community, to going to work, things that aren't even church-related. I pray that we would be that light, that we would point people to Christ. And we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us and what we have to celebrate today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. Once again, this is a worship service. It's not a business meeting. However, we're going to show you a lot of things, and we understand that you're going to have a lot of questions. But what we want you to do so that we can be fair to everyone is we want you to ask the questions that you want to ask. We would like for you to write them down and then go to our website like normal and put those questions on our website. And that allows us to handle everyone's questions, and it allows us to handle everyone's questions in an appropriate way. And so instead of asking questions during the service, we're not going to answer questions during the service. We're going to, again, ask you to put them on our website. And that allows us to even get H&H involved if we need to get ML Gray involved if we need to, and continue to just honor the Lord this morning as we worship him today. Before I go any further, there are some teams of people I need to thank. They're in your insert that you got in your bulletin. Their names are in your bulletin. I want to thank our elders for the work they've done. I want to thank the building team, the finance team, the audio visual lighting team, our interiors team, and our security team. And I want to thank each of you for continually seeking the Lord with us and joining us and continually coming up with one united decision after another. Next, I would like to introduce our contractor to you today. I would like to introduce Mike Gray. Mike, if you just stand up and wave at everybody real quick. That's Mike Gray. Some of you know about him because I've told you the story. I met Mike years ago when my oldest son, Jake, called and said, "Dad, I have a new girlfriend who goes to Baylor. And we want to come and meet you and Mom." And so I said, "Well, there's this new restaurant called Olaf's in Clifton. And so meet us in Clifton at this restaurant, and we're eating dinner together, and I'm being introduced to this young lady, Kendall, that is now my precious daughter-in-law. And she looks across the table and says, "Pastor Chris, you see that guy over there?" And I look over there, and she said, "I think he's famous." And I turned back, and I said, "Nah. That dude ain't famous." And she said, "No, Pastor Chris, I really think he might be famous." I said, "No, he's not famous." And she said, "Well, I'm going to go talk to him." So she gets up, and I'm like, "Okay." She gets up and walks across the restaurant, and the next thing I know, she's sitting down at Mike's table with Mike, talking to him. And then the next thing I know, her and Mike are coming to our table. So that's how I met Mike, and Mike and I just kind of immediately connected. I didn't think that much about it. I thought, honestly, I'd never see you again. It was fun while it lasted, right? But I'd never see you again. And so literally 2 years later, I called a buddy of mine, and I said, "Look, we're looking at building this church, and we've interviewed a couple of contractors, but I want to make sure we talk to at least three. Do you know of anybody that might be able to handle this kind of a project?" And he said, "Yeah, I do. I'll send you some contact information." And the next thing I know, he sends me Mike Gray's contact information. So that's how we got to know Mike. And again, that's just one of many ways that you can see God's handprint all over this thing. And then as we interviewed him, looked into him, all those kinds of things, Mike Gray or ML Gray, his company that he founded, was also recommended to us by our own lawyer and developer, Will Farah, who has represented us from day one. Really, to be honest with you, has held our hand since day one through this process. Will, we love you and thank you for that. But then also Dick Gray. Dick Gray's the president of ML Gray. If you'll stand up and wave at everybody, Dick. That's Mike's son. And these guys have just, they stood out. From day one, they stood out among the three contractors. And everything we needed, they came along beside us. and now have built an amazing friendship with these two guys. And just, we love them to death. They're amazing men. And you know what I love? They've prayed through this with us. That's what I love. These guys love the Lord, and they've prayed through this time with us. And then I also want to introduce to you H&H Architects. First, Bruce is the president and CEO. Bruce, if you'll stand up and wave at everybody, please, sir. And Gary is his partner and project manager. Gary, if you'll stand up. And then Philip, who's the project architect, couldn't be here today. And Katia, interior designer, if you'll stand up and wave at everyone, please, ma'am. And, you know, Bruce, I got to be honest with you. In the beginning, I was warned about architects. And I was told by a pastor friend of mine that's done about 6 building projects. I'm just letting you know up front, they're not good listeners. And they're going to design what they want you to have. Nothing could be further from the truth with this group. They listened incredibly to us, super closely to what we were telling them. They studied the architecture in downtown Hyco. They prayed with us in the same way. Bruce and I were sharing some prayers, text message last week. Godly men that love the Lord, and it's just the whole thing's been a blessing. Dick told me a few days ago, maybe last week sometime, as my dad and I were going back to Dallas, we were talking about, man, what a great blessing it's been to work with Grace Bible Fellowship. And it's the same here, man. We love all you guys. And it's been a huge honor and a blessing to do this throughout this entire journey. Now, several people have come up to me and kind of whispered in my ear because they've been on one of these teams, and they said, wow, Pastor Chris, you guys have done an amazing job, to which I've quickly responded, the credit goes to HH and ML Gray. They've designed this stuff. They've helped us get to where we believe we need to be. And so for those of you who haven't been with us for a long time, I want to share a real brief history with you. You know how we got started and where we came from. Grace Bible Fellowship was born with 4 families in a living room who were praying and sensing God leading us to start a non-denominational church in Hyco. And after much prayer, those 4 families stepped out in faith to hold the very first worship service on Valentine's Day of 2010 in our community center here in Hyco. And we had no idea, to be honest with you, whether anybody would come or not. And we had been informed that 80% of all church starts fail. There's always that guy that tells you that, right? And so that's what we had been informed of. But we knew this. We'd been studying God's word, and the one thing we knew is if you're going to join God in what he's doing, then your faith must be stronger than your fears. He's always going to call you to step out in faith. You can never go with God without making major adjustments in your life and stepping out in faith to do what he's calling you to do. And so we decided to follow God's leading, and we decided to let our faith prove to be stronger than our fear of failure. And for 6 months, we met at the community center, and we watched God slowly draw more and more people to his new church, and it wasn't long, and we'd outgrown that space. In 2011, God provided us with our current building, the one you're sitting in right now. And God continued to provide for his new church in amazing ways. In fact, we began renovations in 2012. I wish you could see what this building used to look like. Over the next 10 years, we renovated in 3 separate phases as we outgrew our existing space. Phase 1 was this worship center right here in the preschool wing right over there. Phase 2 was the kitchen area over here and the back hallway and storage behind me. Phase 3 was our summit wing next door that was just a completely caved-in pile of rocks. And somewhere between phase 2 and phase 3, we expanded the worship center with this barn door addition over here to once again make more room for people to be able to come and know Jesus Christ. And looking back, we've continued to proclaim God's truth. And we've seen many people come to Christ. We've seen many people follow him in baptism, and many people become part of his eternal family. In fact, we've baptized people in horse troughs, bathtubs, swimming pools, ponds, lakes, and oceans. So if you see someone being baptized in a horse trough around here at GBF, just know it's tradition. We've been doing it since day one. We have a lot bigger horse trough than we used to, but we've been doing that since day one. And so today we give God all the glory. Amen, GBF? We give God all the glory as we celebrate this spiritual journey together and look forward to many years to come. The Lord has continued to grow his church, and once again, we're out of room. But God now has given us 20 acres just up Highway 6 heading towards Iredell. And we've been planning and praying to build a new church building there so we can make more room and continue to provide for the next generation of children, teenagers, and adults to know and experience the love of God and the plan that God has for their lives. I'm going to ask Bruce to come up here. Bruce, if you don't mind, sir. He's going to show you the architectural renderings that they have put together for the new building. And these pictures that he's going to show you address our immediate and short-term needs up to about 5 years. But HH has also helped us address long-term needs. You won't see those today. But to put a plan together also for long term as well. All right, Bruce. Okay. Let me get you a mic. Okay. I think I know how to turn this on. Oh, wait, here's a light. Here's a light. Testing one. There we go. Thanks,
we're
Matt.
Tech savvy here. All right. Well, I think as Chris just mentioned, first of all, I want to say how thankful and blessed we are to have the opportunity to work with y'all through the design and certainly through working with ML Gray. And so as Pastor Chris just said, y'all probably are mostly familiar with the site that is located out east of town on Highway 6. If you'll go ahead and key up that first site plan. I know this is a little bit small, but if you know where Highway 6 and Cemetery Road is at, your site, 20 acres, sits in the northwest corner of that piece of property. And first time we visited the site, one of the first things that stuck out to us was you have a few beautiful groves of trees, some large tree clusters. So we have specifically placed this first building, maintaining several of those large key tree locations. What in other cities would be called a champion tree or a legacy tree, the city would punish you if you took it down. So we're very used to working around those types of species trees. So when you look at the site here, the entries will not come from State Highway 6. There's some things and there's reasons for that. You might be able to do it, but it would require some decel lanes and all that. So right now the two lanes are two entries coming off of Cemetery Road. And you'll see within that space is the parking lot and the building. So a blow up of that floor plan is the large blue block over here to the right would be your worship center. The pink to the top side would be the preschool children's building. And then in this lower left-hand corner, that would be the entry. And that faces just like the building is here. That is true north on the sheet, and it is true north out there on the site. So your entry will come in here from the south end here. And so off that hospitality area, there's restroom bank, there's a coffee area. You can immediately turn into the worship center. Over off to the left side, you'll see there's a secured access back into the preschool children's. And we can talk a little bit more about that as we go through some slides.
By the way, that one that's up there right now is set to seat 350 people, and it's expandable to 500. People, and that foyer where these main doors that you're coming in right here is it's not only a foyer lobby area, but that's a huge area that's also going to serve as kind of a fellowship hall area as well.
We like to think of that as a pre-function, could be post-function, but a place where roughly the church family can come, hang out, gather around, sit, have a cup of coffee. And so, yes, the size of that is such that hopefully you get there early and stay late. Chris mentioned about the expansion, what happened in those two back, primarily in those two back, the northwest corner of the worship and the southwest corner of the worship, that would be an expansion. Those particular spaces would then be relocated in an ultimate phase. All right. These are sometimes hard for some people to understand. In our world, these are just exterior elevations, but they're 2D, so they're very flat to the world. It says if you're looking at any particular facade in a 2D, the upper, I'll start with the top one, that would be the east facade. That's the facade that we faced Cemetery Road. The second one would be the west. That would be looking back towards the pond, if you recall, down at the end of the site, but you're looking into the west end of the lobby and the corridor of the children's building. The third one down, that is the facade that would face Highway 6. And so that's your lobby on the left, your worship facility on the right, and then the flip side, the north elevation,
it's on
kind of
Iredale
the opposite
Road.
End.
It's on Iredale Road.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So, next slide. So here, what we've done in this case is we've placed some 3D images. This is actually a technology today. We can take a Google image that exists out there on Highway 6, and we've just planted that rendering. So that is actually a site. You can even see your water tower back there, the nice little tree grove off to the left. So this is the building planted. Most all the parking will occur in this first phase out in front of the facility and also around where you would access off of Cemetery Road. So next slide. Now we've got a closer-up shot. We're looking at the entry plaza, kind of a south-southwest view. You can see the children's facility in the background. There'll be a playground. There's a plaza, has a cross in it and a baptistry feature. So you can see just a little drop-off area, but this is a good view of what the walk-up to the lobby would be. Just swinging around a little bit further to the west, and you'll continue to get a look at what that lobby would be like, the ability to spill out onto that plaza. So, you know, and today, whether we like to hang out, just like we like to hang out in our backyard, we encourage creating spaces that allow us to hang out after church or before church in an outdoor setting. And then this is just that same view, more at a dusk type. One of the things we talked with Chris and the team about is we think it's really important for, you know, we look at this building almost like a city on the hill, in so many ways, and you have a great opportunity to be a light in the community. And so we always try to encourage our owners to we'll design this so that lights can always be left on, minimal lights in the lobby, in the corridors where we have window openings, even in the worship. You'll ultimately see those diamond windows be able to be lit up. It's for security, but it also is just a reminder. Anytime somebody's passing by, the church is lit up. And so this is a good example of what that view might be. Okay. And then this is the kind of the reverse from Cemetery Road and looking back to the west.
So all that right. Picture right there is if you're coming from Iredale,
yes.
That's what you'll see. And this window up here is an 8-foot diameter circle, stained glass window. In the middle will be the cross. In the upper left quadrant will be the birth of Christ. In the lower left quadrant will be the baptism. Lower right will be the resurrection. Upper right will be the ascension. And that will light up at night. And so you'll be able to see that from a long, long way off. And that cross over here as well will light up at night as well.
All right, so now we've moved inside the building. We're kind of standing back towards the worship side. The entry doors are off to the left. You're looking out on that plaza to the west. You see the sitting fireplace and a seating area, and back behind that is then some access to restrooms, men and women's restrooms. To the far corner, and you'll see in just a moment, is the access and secured access to the preschool children's building. So this palette was worked through with the interiors team, and we really appreciate their input. They've come a couple of times, I believe, to our office to help work through these and the materials that you're seeing represented are those that, have been vetted with the and worked through with the team. Okay. And just now we're kind of in that southwest corner, and just a different view. You can see the worship doors off to the right. There'll be a large screen on in a couple of areas in the lobby for either showing the worship service and or just information. There straight ahead is the preschool children's entry. Okay. Just some of those repeat shots just with a dusk. Hopefully you can sit in the room and just really enjoy a beautiful sunset. Now we're approaching and looking down the corridor of the entry preschool children's wing.
Okay. That, let me say one word about that entryway. That's the check-in to go in back into the back corridor where the big preschool and children's wing is at. And I forgot to tell you, the stained glass window, all those windows were drawn by our very own Tyler Crow. Thank you, sir.
Yep. Very good.
And so they're really cool. I can't wait for y'all to see.
Absolutely.
But then this big tree over here, Tyler has agreed to, you know, our logo is a live oak, right? And Tyler's agreed to paint a big live oak on that wall with children sitting under it, learning about the Lord at that entryway where you check the children into the children's wing. So that's what that big green tree is.
Yeah, excellent. Now we're down deep in that corridor, and we're just looking back out to that same access and entry point, and off to the right side you have some views and access to the to that outdoor playground area. Just an example of one of the classrooms. And then finally we have the worship setting, and there again you would see the stained glass, and it would ultimately be depicted as Chris described. We purposely wanted to use, and this was part of working with the team, we purposely wanted to pull back in some of what you see here with the stone and a cross, and so that was purposeful.
Yeah, this cross actually is in that picture under that stained glass window, because as you know, most of you know, this was our first Easter, and people nailed crosses into this cross, nailed nails into this cross that literally helped this church begin. Some of them have moved off, and some of them have gone on to be with the Lord. And so this cross is going with us, and it's going to be on the back wall just like it is here, but beneath that big stained glass window up there. And then back in here is that kind of that slate blue thing right there is going to be our big sound booth, where all of our sound equipment and everything will sit. And then there's a entrance and exit on both sides of those from the back of the auditorium.
Yeah, thank you. And I think Chris noted it early, and again, this was part of working with the design. We wanted to pull a little bit of the Heiko flavor. You guys are obviously very familiar with not just the downtown, but some of the settings. And so we tried to pull some things that we felt like would tie and look like an extension of the city and the architecture that exists out here. And so, again, we're really excited to see this building get started and the construction start making its way down the road. So I think we'll end with that. And I think there's one more image that, again, you just kind of again see that. We hope that that becomes just the beginning of a great future for the church.
So anyway, up here, again, you probably already figured this out, but just in case you haven't, this is our worship center. This is the main doors that everybody will come and go from that lead out to the parking lot. It'll go into that big, huge foyer area, and back behind that fireplace, you walk around this big rock fireplace, and back behind that is all the restrooms. And then if you come over here and you walk right where you see these three little rectangle windows is that checkout area, and then back behind that is the children's wing. And so that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful sight. We love the fact that Jill's oak tree is part of your logo. You've got some great oaks out on site. And so hopefully, again, this will be a place you'll get to move into here in a few months.
Amen. Thank you, Bruce. night, ML Gray, our contractor, has estimated the cost of this building to be $6.1 million. And before you react, you may be thinking, wow, this is impossible. But let me remind you of something Jesus told his disciples. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things. How many things? All things are possible. Now I want to show you a video from one of our elders, Adam Green. Please, sir.
Church family, sorry that the kids, Courtney and the kids and I couldn't be with y'all this morning, but we're watching online and we're super excited about the big news and the church build moving forward and the opportunity to go through this 30-day devotional together. I think that's going to be the greatest experience out of all of it. And so I just wanted to take a minute and let y'all know a little bit about the experience that we've had going through this whole process. I know it seems like it's taken a long time, and it has taken a long time, but that's because we've been patient and waited for instruction from God, and He has continued time after time after time to provide instruction and land and confirmation and architects, contractors. And so I just need to express that this whole build, this whole process has not been what we can do, what GBF can do, what man can do. The whole thing has been just joining the Lord in His work. God's at work, and we're taking the opportunity to work with Him, to join Him in His work and accomplish what He's wanting to do. And just know that time after time, from the purchase of the land that didn't look like that was going to work out more than once, and then all of a sudden we have it. And not only did we have the opportunity to buy it, but then the funds were provided to buy it. And the contractor, ML Gray, who we love and has been awesome, Chris met him just randomly in a restaurant because Chris's future daughter-in-law thought Mike was famous and thought she ought to talk to him. And Mike's still not famous, but we're in this great relationship with him and using them to build the church, and so happy to have them on board. The architect, HH, that ML Gray brought in has just been a huge blessing time after time, listening to us and taking what we need, what GBF needs, what we feel like the Lord has led us to build, listening to that and developing this beautiful structure that will be a landmark building for HICO, just a beautiful asset to the community, and will really help draw people in to feel welcome and come to know the Lord, hopefully. And so just know that this whole process has not been what we could do. It's been God working time after time after time. And it's just so exciting. God's had his fingerprints, his handprints all over this through every step of the way. And it's just been continued to be endorsed by the Lord over and over and over. And so, man, we're excited to just keep pressing into that, keep leaning into the Lord and His instruction. And the way to do that is this 30-day devotional. I think that can be the coolest thing out of this whole process, is our church family coming together, all together, in unison, doing this devotional, seeking the Lord in His will, not only for the church build process, but just in our lives in general, and seeking His will, carrying that out, and I just think that that's the ticket, that's the key, that's the goal, is for us to come together and just seek Him wholeheartedly together. You know, the unity that we've experienced through this, well, through the whole GBF story, but again, still through this whole building process so far, the unity has been awesome. And thank y'all for that, because that's not necessarily common nowadays. And so that's what we have to protect. We have to continue to mindfully seek and protect that unity. And we do that by seeking the Lord and seeking His will for our church family, and be mindful of it in a way that God's moving. God's at work in HICO and in GBF, and praise the Lord that He used GBF to work in HICO for this aspect. And so, but be mindful of the unity, seek it, and protect it, because God's at work, and the devil's not going to like that. So the quickest way he can mess with us is to disrupt our unity, and that's what we want to protect, and just continue through this whole process. And so thank y'all for being unified, being a family. We love you, and we'll see you soon.
You know, there's so many great fingerprints of God. I want to share one with you that was just recent. For several weeks leading up to this time, I began to ask the Lord if He would take us from just under $1.5 million in the building fund to $2 million by the time we brought the plans to you. And I got to be honest with you, that felt weird, me asking God to do that. But I felt led to ask, is the other weird thing. I felt led to ask, and the verse, "You have not because you ask not," kept coming to my mind during that time. So I didn't tell anybody. I just started praying that, and because I felt like it would just be a great encouragement for us to know that we had at least $2 million sitting in the bank to start this project. And within weeks, we had received over $520,000 to push us over the $2 million mark just days before today. The bottom line is this. The greatest moments in your life will be when you choose to step out in faith and invite God to intervene in your impossible situation. So GBF, here's where we're at. We have no debt. We have a building fund now that has $2.4 million in it. We own this building that I was told 2 years ago by an appraiser was worth probably at least $1.5 million. It could be sold if need be. It could be used as collateral for a line of credit with a bank. Many churches take out lines of credit with banks because they understand that giving comes in waves. For example, some people step out in faith and they give up front. That's why there's over $2 million in the building fund. Then there's a second wave of people that sense the Lord leading them to give after they've seen the plans. They don't have any less faith than the first group. That's just how God's wired them. Then there's a third group of people that feel inspired to give to the Lord after they've seen construction taking place. And they don't have any less faith than the second group or the first group. That's just how God has wired them. But either reason, there's only one reason that you ever give at GBF, and it's because the Lord is leading you to. That's been our stance about finances from day one. You don't ever give to anything here at GBF unless you sense the Lord leading you to do so. And if you do give to GBF, no one will ever know it except you, Jesus, and James Fuller. He's the finance guy. But I could hook him up to the back of my truck and drag him down the road, and he wouldn't give up a name. That's the way we've done it for 14 and a half years, and that's the way we continue to do things. Now, some of you may be here, sitting here and thinking to yourself, man, those are great plans, Chris, but I can't afford to give to this building. I can't afford to give to expand God's kingdom. Tell that to Jesus. I can't help you. But Jesus can take a few loaves and a few fish and feed over 5,000. Amen? So if you want God to bless you, let me just give you an example. Andrea and I gave every month for 3 straight years when all this was nothing but a pipe dream. And I told Andrea, I said, I feel the Lord leading us to give this amount every month. And we didn't even have a building fund. But I feel that, and I'm sensing that this is what God is doing, and this is where God's going to lead. Well, after we finished giving a certain amount of money every month for 3 years, we wanted to give more, but we didn't have more. And so I said, well, let's pray about it, and we agreed that we would pray about it. And the next thing I know, a guy drives up my driveway, hands me a check bigger than anybody's ever handed me in my life. And I ran in the house and said, Andrea, guess what? God's provided some more money for us to give to GBF. And so we put that in the bank, turned around and wrote a check to GBF. And we were able to give what we sensed the Lord leading us to give at that point. And so if you feel like you can't give, you want to give, but you feel like you can't give, tell it to Jesus. He can do what man thinks is impossible. He can make possible. Now, Tyler, if you would, grab your folks that are going to help you and pass out the GBF devotionals. They're going to pass out a devotional to you that for the next 30 days starting tomorrow, or you can start today if you want to, but for the next 30 days, all of us are going to do this devotional together that's been written by people in this church, okay? And while they're passing those out, you know, I've watched God do amazing things over the last 14 years as we've continually faced our fears with prayer and faith. And Paul told the church in Philippi, be anxious for nothing. By the way, all these verses are in your little insert. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And again, Grace Bible Fellowship, we were made for this. We were made, ever since day one, God has grown his church. And we've continued to see more people come to Christ. And so in a culture that minimizes and even denies truth, may we continue to create a culture based on God's word. Amen. May we continue to create a culture of people that want to be used by God to take the absolute truth concerning all of life to the generations that will follow us. Okay, I'm going to quit for a minute till we get these things handed out real quick. And then I'll jump back in. Give them to adults, because what we want to do is we'll let the adults share them with their children and their teenagers, okay? But to make sure we have enough, give one to each adult. And honestly, I'd rather you not share one as a couple, okay? I'd rather you get your own. If you need one, raise your hand. If you need another one, raise your hand. Don't share one as a couple, because here's what I would like for you to do. Get alone. You can come back together as a couple, but get alone with God, just you and the Lord, as you go through this devotion together. All right, we good? Everybody up here for just a minute. You can look at your devotional in just a second. I got a few more things I need to say to you real quick. GBF, as we continue, we need to make sure that we keep our faith stronger than our fears. The Bible says, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe. He must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. That's why we're fixing to spend 30 days together. And so for the next 30 days, we're going to earnestly seek the Lord together. And it's going to be a super exciting time. And what I would like for you to do, as you do each of these devotions, pray for all the other people that are doing a devotion right along with you that very day that you're doing yours, okay? And again, these were written to encourage you to sincerely seek the Lord and discern His will for the future of GBF and your role in that. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, "And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And so listen, God always provides for His will to be done, but He does that as you and I step out in faith and join Him in what He's doing. And on the last page of your devotional is your opportunity to do just that if the Lord is leading you to do so. Look at that last page in your devotional real quick. There's boxes in there that you can check. All this is self-explanatory. It does say, please note any gifts that can be given up front will best benefit GBF's building project, obviously. And then it says below the little scissor line, "I have confidence in what the Lord is doing through my church family at GBF, and I, or we as a family, are ready to step out in faith and thankfully give back to God and build His kingdom." And what we would like you to do, what we're asking you to do, if you feel led to give, that you return that to us. Look at the bottom. It should be by September 29th, written at the bottom of that last page. And there's also giving instructions for the website as well. But what that lets us know where we're at financially. And so again, God always provides, but He provides for us as we engage and become involved in what He's doing. All right, I want to finish with this. You may remember how God provided land for the Israelites in Numbers chapter 13. I always thought it was interesting that it's number 13. He had provided land for the Israelites, but the Bible says they shrank back in fear because some of their people were spreading bad rumors and saying it couldn't be done, saying it was impossible. So what did they do? This has always been really interesting to me. They took a vote. They took a vote, and by the way, let me just say this. You don't vote on the will of God. Amen? You don't vote on the will of God. And so God brought these people right up to the Jordan River where they were going to cross over, and they said, you know what? We can't do it. It's too big. It's too much. And they went with the majority rule, and it cost an entire generation 40 years of wandering in the desert. They missed God's promised land. Therefore, as you read this devotion for each day, pray and ask God to speak to your heart. Ask Him to open up your heart and show you what He wants to do through you to help reach future generations with the truth and to build His kingdom. Ask God to intervene in your impossible situation, whatever that may be, and pray for all the people that are doing the same thing right along with you. And I also want to encourage you in something very, very important. Andrea shared with you either last Sunday or the Sunday before, I'm not remembering, about what the Bible says that you need to share these things with your children. So what I want you to do is I want you to really prayerfully consider reading these devotionals with your children and with your teenagers. Take them right along and use this as a special time of teaching and spiritual bonding with your children. And I promise you or your grandchildren, they'll never forget it as long as they live. That's what my grandfather did with me, and that's what my parents did with me. And so consider praying a prayer somewhat like this. Heavenly Father, I come before You today sincerely seeking to know and do Your will. Show me where You are working so I can join You in advancing Your truth and Your kingdom for future generations. I'm willing to make whatever adjustments and sacrifices You tell me to make for Your glory and for Your name's sake. After all, You gave everything You could give to save me and give me eternal life. I pray these things in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to leave you with one verse. It's from the book of Haggai, Haggai 2:4. But now be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. I'm going to ask Keith to come up here. Keith is one of our elders. He's going to close us in prayer, but here's what I want you to do. While Keith is praying, there's going to be some movement up here, but stay engaged with God. Don't be distracted by what you hear. Stay engaged. You're going to have to turn this deal back on. Stay engaged while he's praying with your Heavenly Father and honor the Lord while Keith is praying the prayer that he's feeling led to pray this morning. And then you're going to see some things up here on stage. Okay, Keith, you go ahead, please, sir. Can you figure it out?
Hello.
Here, let me see. It's on.
Hello.
There we go.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today honored and just humbled that you would use ordinary people like ourselves to further your kingdom, Lord. Lord, I just praise you for ML Gray and H&H Architects. Lord, they're a godsend, and we know that you sent them, Lord. They have listened to us. They have prayed with us. They've just come right along beside us in every aspect of this project and walked us through it. We just want to give you all the praise for that, Lord. Lord, I'd also like to thank Chris for the countless hours that he has put in on this project. Probably more than anybody ever know. And Lord, I just want to thank you for Chris for the last 14 and a half years that has done nothing but brought us the truth. He's taught us to be patient, to be God-centered, and Lord, most of all, he's taught us to wait on you, that your timing is perfect. It's always perfect. And he's taught us that over and over and over. And Lord, I just thank you for just the wisdom that he's brought to this church. And it's just awesome to be friends with him and to have a pastor that's seeking the Lord in every aspect of his life. And Lord, I just pray over this new building that you're going to build. We have nothing to do with this building. It's all yours. You have provided everything for this church from day one. And I know that you're going to continue to provide for us in ways that we just cannot even imagine. And Lord, let us stay focused on the gospel. Lord, just take us away from this building. The building will get done because we know that you're in control of this building. But Lord, just let us stay focused on the gospel, because there is no one that's righteous, not even one. For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Lord, you demonstrated your own love for us by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that's just something that we have to stay focused on, and something we have to stay focused on sharing the gospel throughout HICO, throughout Texas, throughout the United States, and throughout the world, Lord. And Lord, you have called us to do that. And Lord, I just, like Chris said earlier, I just pray that we'll put fear aside and we'll be bold to stand up for you, Lord. Lord, we just love you and we just thank you for everything you bless us with. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
All right. Let me